Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Friday, February 21st. We are a week away from the NFL Scouting Combine. This time next week, we'll be looking at an assortment of NFL players, including place kickers, special team players, offensive linemen, and running backs. We'll also have seen tight ends, quarterbacks, and wide receivers on Thursday, but Friday could be a big day for the Steelers if they're looking at the running back position. So, today, we got some top news stories to go over, including more news on the NFL collective bargaining agreement. We'll also be going over some more news with the Steelers and a death in Steelers history to a former linebacker coach. We'll pay honor to him with mentioning some of his history. Also, Javon Hargrave getting an award. And then I'll do my full breakdown of all the top running backs that you should be looking at, as that's my top position for what the Steelers should be looking to get in the 2020 NFL Draft. Let's get into it. All right, happy Friday, everyone. We made it through the week. We have all done it. We are all champions. Time to go get some beers after work today, people. All right, anyways, let's get into some of the top stories. Of course, more information came out on the collective bargaining agreement proposal by the owners. I want to confirm, you know, all the talk that we talked a little about this yesterday. I'm not going to go too deep on it because we've already discussed it. But the talk was, of course, you know, the preseasons decreased to three games instead of four. The total amount of regular season games went from 16 to 17. And potentially you're looking at the amount of playoff teams increasing from 12 to 14 with only the one seeds getting byes now. But I want everyone to understand, this is just the owners saying that they have finally worked it out amongst themselves what they're proposing to the players. Now it's up to the NFL's Player Association to accept the terms or negotiate, push back. We'll see how that goes. But Adam Schefter had an interesting tweet about how this is going to work out. According to Adam Schefter, he's saying that the CBA proposal that's now on the table would have the players' share go from 47% to 48%. And then if they continue at 16 games, and then it would go to 48.5% if they agree to go to 17 games. This would shift over about $5 billion of revenue to the players' side. That would mean, you know, splitting that amongst 1,700 players. That would be a boost in everyone's everyone's already accrued salary. Now, there's also speculation that this could only mean about $250,000 for their final game check. While that sounds like a hefty sum, when it comes to a lot of these players that signed these huge contracts, that's actually kind of a slap in the face. There's some people that are expecting this to be a major talking point and a point where there's going to be a lot of contention from the Players Association. It's my history of studying how this works and the labor relations between the NFL Players Association and the NFL that the Players Association is one of the weakest sports unions in all of sports. They don't stay unified. They roll over for the NFL, and they haven't been able to really keep a unified stance for too long whenever they've wanted to challenge the league. Will this year be any different? We'll see. But right now, it seems like a given from the sources of people like Adam Schefter that the NFL Players Association is going to have to agree to these terms. But the question will be, can they use their leverage as being players and being the on-field talent to get more from the CBA? We'll keep an eye on this story because it's a national story, and, you know, potentially, you know, I don't see a strike on the table right now. But potentially, if this were to get nasty, we could be looking at the threat of, you know, missing football. That's like if we go DEFCON 1. I don't think it's going to get to that point. But so we'll keep an eye on that moving forward. Other top news around the league, with the Steelers. Good news, Javon Hargrave, Steelers defensive tackle, got named Black College Football Pro Player of the Year. It's a good honor because Javon Hargrave went to South Carolina State University. It's an HBCU, which is also known as a historically black college. If you remember, I talked about this on the Black History Month episode of the Steelers. Going over this, Javon Hargrave, being a graduate of South Carolina State, just like the Steelers' former safety Donnie Shell. He won this over this award over players like Darius Leonard, who's the inside linebacker for the Indianapolis Colts. There's a lot of talk about Javon Hargrave this year being a big year for him. He had a good fourth year for the Steelers, and because of his production, he's a pass rushing inside defensive lineman. Some are speculating that he's going to get upwards of $12.5 million a year with his upcoming free agency. So he's priced himself away from the Steelers, but he played very well for the Steelers. Had several very good seasons. Was always reliable. They just have an assortment of talent at the interior defensive line position. So it's going to be tough to see him stick along. In other more sad news, the Steelers' former assistant coach and linebacker coach Dan Radakovich died at 84 years old this week. Dan Radakovich was a star linebacker for Penn State and was a coach in college and in the pros. He coached at Robert Morris. He's also a Pittsburgh native of the suburb of Duquesne, but he in bouncing between college and pro sports as a coach after he played. He was part of the Steelers' 70s. He actually has two Super Bowl rings from the 74 and 75 season. He was the linebackers coach. He worked directly with Jack Lambert and Jack Ham and had a very strong reputation as a coach. In his coaching time, he bounced all around the NFL with the 49ers, the Broncos, the Vikings, the Browns, the Rams, and the Jets. He bounced around colleges as well, had a good reputation around the league. Former Jets coach Joe Walton, talked about Radakovich, saying he was the best on-field coach he'd ever seen. Radakovich was 84 years old this week. So, with all that, all right. So we're gonna change tunes here. Gearing you up for the NFL Scouting Combine. Again, that's next week, y'all. So we got a lot to talk about. I know a lot of you have been waiting for my draft talk. Well, here it comes, y'all. I'm going to go over my top six running backs. Pick six time. We're going to pick six. I'm going to evaluate them. I wrote about them. I posted the article in the Facebook group. It's been on Twitter. It's on dkpittsburghsports.com. I did some film analysis on them. I did a lot more deeper film analysis, really, on each of them. I just picked some highlight plays that would kind of show you what each running back is about. Well, now you get to listen to me talk about them. I'm going to break down all the six guys, who they are, where I think they're at, and what you should really watch for in the combine with these guys. So that's coming up right after the break. Okay, y'all, let's start talking about the running back position. Now, before I get into the running back position, I want to explain why I'm focusing on running backs. Because I know a lot of people feel like they should look at edge rushers, feel like they should look at tight ends, feel like they should look at offensive line. If I was to have my true pick of what would be the most important, like if I had a top pick this year and I had a shot at someone that I thought the Steelers would, I would go offensive line for sure. This is a really good offensive line class. If the Steelers had a first round draft pick, that's where I would go. They might be able to get a Josh Jones. They might get there's a couple guards that you could look at that would boost their case. I do think they need to replenish the offensive line soon. They need a young stalwart talent. You know, guys like Zach Banner that are coming up, they look like they're going to be good players, right? But they also need guys that don't look like they're going to be good players. They are going to be good players. And that's guys that you can get in the first and the second rounds. You know, with all the greatness that the offensive line had over the past 5 or 6 years, everyone talks about Villanueva and Foster and how guys came in, but it's really the anchors of the offensive line that carried it all when Pouncey and DeCastro were there. And then occasionally you throw in a BJ Finney, but also Marcus Gilbert was a huge part of it. So offensive line would be a priority, but the problem is I have about, in my rankings of things, I have about 14 teams, or about 13 teams that are going to need either an offensive tackle or an interior offensive lineman. And in my book, I went through all the different prospects. There's only about eight that I would value enough to pick at the 49th spot where the Steelers have their first pick. So I don't think that the Steelers should go in that position. Now on the flip side, There's about four or five guys I think that the Steelers could pick with that second round pick. And there's only about four teams that I think should legitimately be looking at running back that will pick before them, at least picking running back that early. And all of those teams have other primary concerns. So I do think there will be a couple running backs to come off the board. I'm going to get into that here with who I think is at the top of the list. I'm gonna work in reverse. I'm gonna say my top six, work from my bottom, work to my number one. So, my number six back right now in this draft class is from Florida State, Cam Akers. Cam Akers stands at 5'11", 211 pounds. I project him to be anywhere from the late second to the late third round. Cam Akers is an interesting prospect. He doesn't have the best production of the top running backs. He only had about 1,100 yards and on 231 carries. And he was with Florida State. Now, if you know anything about Florida State, they have taken a deep hit since the days of Jameis Winston. Their offensive lines have been horrible. They've been abhorrent. Now, what's interesting about Akers is that he's a former quarterback. He understands the game really well. But he makes people miss, but the way he makes people miss comes out of the wildcat, comes out of, you know, option plays. I'm looking for running backs that have a better understanding of how to process what defenses are doing from traditional sets, from traditional looks that the Steelers could get used to and play their type of football. Cam Akers could be that guy very, very, very well. But to me, I look at Cam Akers and I see a guy that's benefited a lot from those collegiate systems, and I have a question, and I'm not saying he can't do it, but I'd have to question, you know, how well will you transition to running behind a power offense and then having to switch to a zone offense and, you know, dealing with NFL players that don't miss tackles as much in space. A perfect example, you know, I broke down some film for DKPittsburghSports.com on each of these players, but there's a play that I show for Cam Akers where it's the option. They hand it to Akers. He kind of runs to his left. It stretches the defense a little bit, and then he cuts back, makes one guy miss on a poor tackle who was coming down the line just a little slow there, and when he makes one guy miss, he's off to the races and gets a touchdown. Akers is fine. I don't think he's a second-rounder for the Steelers. They need to get a guy who's going to be the primary playmaker. And Florida State's produced some good backs over the years. Akers may be another one, but I just don't think he's worth the risk at two. If you don't go a running back at two, maybe you bring him up in the third round with that compensatory pick that we're all expecting. Also, that is a big deal. The compensatory pick is announced tomorrow. I'm sorry. It's announced today. Ooh, look at me. I'm getting old. But it's going to be announced today with the compensatory pick because the NFL is going to make it official. We're all looking for the Steelers to get that third round pick. If they don't get a third round pick, it's going to be some unhappy campers because that's exactly why they got rid of Dante Moncrief. So, anyways, Cam Akers being the first of my group at these as the sixth best running back in this class. My fifth best running back, I bounce around with this, but I'm going to go with a guy that a lot of people liked, and it's Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin. He's 5'11", 211 pounds. I struggle with where to pick him. I think that he still has a chance to make the bottom of the first round because of his production. But I definitely think he's drafted at least by the end of the second round. Taylor had some of the top production in all of college football. He had 2,003 rushing yards, 21 touchdowns, including 26 touchdowns when you include the five he had as a receiver. Taylor is huge with how he's able to break tackles. He has a very strong stiff arm. He keeps his head up, and by all accounts, he's a heck of a locker room guy. He's a character kind of player that you'd want on your team. Paul Chris talked about him and said that he was a great leader for his team on and off the field. And I look at the way that he runs, and it's really exciting. He's very explosive, lower body strength. He runs through tacklers. He has a mean stiff arm. He always has his head up looking to make the next guy miss. The play I chose to break down was this 88-yard touchdown that he had against Nebraska. Just runs right up the middle. He can go in between the tackles. He can go outside the tackles. He has explosive bursts. He has plenty of really long touchdowns, too. Like, he has that home run speed that he can take off at. That's one thing that we're going to be looking at, too, in the combine, is how fast are some of these guys? How well do they test against their competition? How do they do that shuttle drill? How quick are their feet? How well can they change direction? All those things are major questions to be asked. But the major question that has to be asked of Taylor is, can he solve his fumbling problems? He had, I think he averaged a fumble for every 50 carries. That cannot be acceptable. I think he had 15 total fumbles in his in this past season, actually. That's a big red flag. He also had about 900 carries over his collegiate career. It's a lot of wear and tear. It's a lot of run-ins, a lot of breaking tackles. You know, it doesn't mean that he's going to stink in the NFL. It doesn't mean that he's going to be toast in the NFL, but it does give a legitimate reason for pause by NFL GMs and coaches who think, man, I love the production, I love the talent, I love the character, but I need a running back that's going to last more than 2 years or won't break down on me. So, Taylor, I have him listed at 5 right now. It's going to fluctuate based on how we see these combines perform. He's a very good player. I do like him. If the Steelers end up with him, I don't think it would be bad. They will need to work on him with protecting the football. But certainly, he has the potential to do very well in the NFL. So he's my fifth running back on this list. Whew. Number 4, and I've gone back and forth about this one as well, and I got to do it. I guess I got to do it, but it's going to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire out of LSU. Now, I really like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He is dangerous. Now, he's tiny. He's 5'8", 205 pounds, but with LSU, I watched that man cut up so many defenses, and not just defenses, SEC defenses. He was giving Alabama fits in their game earlier this season. He finished the year with over 1,400 yards, 16 rushing touchdowns, and he's very secure with the football. He rarely, if ever, fumbles. Also, what makes him dangerous is his electric footwork. His feet are always chopping, and chopping with a purpose. There's guys who chop feet and just kind of do it just for show, but one of the things that I always felt made Le'Veon Bell great, you know, everyone talked about his size and ability to catch the ball, but if you watched his feet work behind the line of scrimmage, you know, you're like, whoa, they're always chopping, and that advantage gave to him. As soon as his brain processed where he wanted to run with the football, his feet were already getting going because he's already, you know, it's kind of a natural reaction. And it allowed for that explosiveness to kick in, the quickness to kick in, and then eventually he would get those bursts into the holes and find those Le'Veon Bell type of plays. Now, I'm not saying Edwards-Helaire is going to be a Le'Veon Bell because, of course, Le'Veon Bell's huge, Edwards-Helaire is not. But he can be very dangerous with the football. He's good at catching the ball at the backfield. Didn't have to do it too much with LSU, but he's also very good at making people miss behind the line of scrimmage. His head's always up. He's always got a chance to shake off a defender real quick. Perfect example, Alabama, first drive for LSU last year. It's a handoff to Edwards-Helaire, and the edge comes off free. No one blocks him. He just reads the play, jumps right in, and Edwards-Helaire, not even looking at him, just spins off of him, makes a miss, and goes and gets 8 or 9 yards. That's the kind of stuff that the Steelers need. James Conner can make people miss, but he usually starts making people miss at the first and second levels once he's gotten going. But behind the line of scrimmage, before he's gotten momentum, that's where I've seen James Conner struggle. That's where I think that they need a playmaker who can do things like that. Like, oh, you think you have me? I don't know. I'm right here. Edwards-Helaire is a heck of a talent. He only had 2 fumbles in 3 years in college. That's huge. And that's over 403 touches along with 47 kickoff returns. He also is a decent returner. He doesn't have a touchdown, but he averaged about 18.6 yards per return. He did have a 77 yarder. He just didn't score on it. He has good speed. They'll be testing him His explosiveness, his quickness, is going to be huge in this combine. Keep an eye out for him. If he has a very good 40 time, that's going to shoot him up some people's boards. The question is, how much will it shoot them up? Because size is definitely a problem that everyone notices and will try to take advantage of. Now, LSU solved that problem. They would motion him all over the field. They would line him up in the backfield, switch him to the slot, move him all over the place, and he would be that just that ever mobile running back that could be a receiver and threaten you in different ways and force you to have to think. And that's what you ultimately need in the NFL. You need threats that are gonna make you or make the opposing defensive coordinator think and have to make some guess calls, because when they start guessing, that's when you get more shots at big plays. All right, those are my first three. I went through 6-5-4, 3-2-1 of my top running backs for this year. Coming up next. Okay, time to finish this off. Got three more running backs I'm going to go through. I kind of go back and forth on these, and this is going to all be adjusted once the combine happens, and then we see other teams pick who they're going to sign in free agency, because then if a team signs a running back, well, then they don't need the running back anymore. So lots of things to discuss there, but I'll get into that. Okay, so my number three running back right now on the board. These three are really good. This isn't relative to where I think they're going to go. These are the three that I think that would best fit the Steelers. I'm going to go with DeAndre Swift at three. Now, I know some people are probably thinking me, what? You're crazy. What? You couldn't be picking DeAndre Swift at three? He's the clear number one. A lot of people have DeAndre Swift as the number one running back in this draft. And rightfully so. I think he's a heck of a talent. He's 5'9", 215, played at Georgia. Georgia is running back over the past decade or two decades or however long it goes back. They just spit out running backs regularly. And I understand why you're excited to see him. The guy makes tacklers miss, always has his head up. He's very explosive, has a very strong lower body. When he gets going, he is very tough to put down. But he also had times where he just wasn't productive. He would just disappear, had some injury concerns. That's where I'd be a little bit of concern for DeAndre Swift. But one thing I love about how when he runs, he always has that sort of presence that he has that center of balance where he's ready to make a move in any direction. You know, some guys when they're moving, they have a certain move in mind, or they have a certain tactic ahead. It looks like with DeAndre Swift that he has a few of those, and he's so well balanced with how he runs, but he's running at such a fast speed that he's gaining ground, but he's always ready to put on another move. That's dangerous. That's the kind of spirit that you want in the NFL. If the Steelers can get him, I think it'd be a heck of a pick. But I do think that DeAndre Swift is going to end up going to one of those teams. Also, again, going to depend on where he tests. If he blows up the combine, he's going to shoot up the boards even further. So there's that. So, number two back right now of my picks, Zach Moss of Utah. Now, you're probably thinking, who the heck is this? But Zach Moss, 5'10", 222 pounds, he's a big boy, he's a big back, and I would say he's the best big back of this class. Dale Lally did his first mock draft of the year. This was his pick for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Moss had 1,416 yards and 15 touchdowns on the ground last year, I'm telling you, when you watch him, he's exciting. He doesn't just make people miss. He looks to be violent. Like when he, like Jerome Bettis would sometimes seek out guys to run over. You know, Zach Moss, I wouldn't say he does exactly that, but there's times where he could avoid contact, and he's like, no, I'm gonna use this to my advantage. And he'll spin off a tackler into the hole, and then he'll get a full burst. Now, traditionally, the Steelers over the past while have loved big backs. Heck, that's why Le'Veon Bell was brought in. They wanted him, a big back, to one, protect Ben Roethlisberger, but two, to be able to carry the load and deal with the pain and the punishment. So Zach Moss looks like a guy who could be that. I think he had a torn meniscus a couple years back, but he seems like he's ready to go. He had a really strong 2019, so if the Steelers end up getting him, that would be huge. We'll break down an example with a 91-yard touchdown that he ran against Oregon State last season, where he comes in and he approaches the hole and he uses his blockers well. He lets his guard throw the trap, and then he sees the man he's ISO'd with in the hole. This stuff kind of shows me when I'm watching him run, he understands the line breakdowns in front of him. He understands who has what matchup and what he has to target. Sometimes runners are just running to a hole. They're running to a gap. Moss looks like he's running with purpose to fulfill a scheme. That's what I really like about him, is that there's times where you can see him, he has a lead blocker. He will wait for that lead blocker to complete their assignment and then make his move, because he knows that that's what's going to allow him to build off of what the team is doing a lot better. So Zach Moss, look him up. He's got a whole bunch of highlights, as do all of these guys. But he's my number two back just for the Steelers right now, because I think that build really helps them, and he's good at protecting the quarterback. If the Steelers get him, I think it's going to be an interesting 1-2-3 punch of him, Connor, and Snell, at least for this past season, this upcoming season. That's my number two back. My number one back, if you're paying attention, you know who it is right now. It's going to be J.K. Dobbins of Ohio State. Now, why J.K. Dobbins? Well, it's primarily because I don't think he's going to be here. I think that J.K. Dobbins, he had a heck of a year with Ohio State. He tied Jonathan Taylor exactly in yards. Where have you ever seen that before? 2,003 yards on the dot. Also tied him in rushing touchdowns with 21. His 6.7 yards per carry was the highest of all the top running backs in this class that are looking to go in the top three rounds. He's very good at recognizing when players are coming and finding different ways to beat them and maximize space. He's also a heck of an athlete. He's explosive. He has a very strong core. I love the way that he can combine explosive steps and jab steps in his run game with the ability to still stiff arm and use his upper body. That this guy looks like he is the truth. Now, here's the thing. Combine's coming up. J.K. Dobbins, I think he, you know, everyone's kind of excited about him. From what I know about J.K. Dobbins and the inside sources I've read, and I was talking to Dale about this. Dale actually agreed with me when I said this too. We both think that he's going to light up the combine. Now, here's the thing. Here's the strategy of where you want to happen with the combine, is that there are certain guys that you know you might want for the Steelers. You don't necessarily need those guys to light it up in the combine. You don't want that to happen, because if that happens, then they're probably going to go. You want other positions to light up the combine. You want cornerback to light up the combine. You want, receivers are already going to light it up because everyone's going to be happy to see them. But, you know, you want, you know, maybe some interior defensive linemen to light up the combine. You know, positions that you're very comfortable with. Edge rusher. I'd say at this point, inside linebacker with the way that Devin Bush is. But you want those areas to perform well and for those draft stocks to soar. Because if they do, then that means those players get out the way a little bit more, and that clears up more space in the position departments that you're looking for. So, for example, if say there's a bunch of cornerbacks that do really well this year, don't need cornerbacks, and you're the Steelers have Steven Nelson and Joe Hayden. They're doing just fine. And Justin Lane waiting in the wings. If more cornerbacks go to teams that need offensive linemen, you know, that might end up working in your favor. But J.K. Dobbins is one of those guys that I think in the combine could light it up. He'll be, if he gets like a 4-4 time, like in that range, it's a wrap. Like people are going to be jumping for joy for over this guy, because everyone wants the supreme playmaker. So be ready for that to happen over this weekend. But just to recap, my top running backs, number six is Cam Akers. Number five I had was Jonathan Taylor. Number four was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Number three was DeAndre Swift. Number two was Zach Moss. Number one was J.K. Dobbins. Dobbins from Ohio State, I think, could be the man, but the Steelers definitely should not trade up. They should not do anything crazy here. Their system is working right now. Let it continue to work. So, with that, that's the end of the show. I hope you, let me know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter at Carter Critiques. Do you like my list? Do you think someone should be higher? Someone should be lower? Is there someone I didn't even mention that you think is in the top six? Let me know there. You can also go to the Facebook group for Locked On Steelers. Go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers. You'll find our group. Just ask to join. I'll add you as soon as possible. And you can add your opinion to the conversation there as well, where hundreds of Locked On loyal Locked On listeners are commenting every day. Thanks for all those who help make the show that much better, because I really appreciate it when I get to talk with you guys. If you follow me on Twitter, I'll follow you back. Hit me with an @, hit me with a DM. Always down to check with you guys and have good conversations. I recently just recorded with Joey Bag of Donuts. It's a good follow on Twitter. Give him a follow. He does his show, The Bag of Donuts, where I appear. I think it's kind of monthly right now. I'm just a special guest on there. Sometimes, well, I struggle to stay special. But I appear on there. We have some fun conversations about the Steelers, and then we do some pop culture stuff, especially with Pittsburgh. So some fun stuff on that show. You can listen to me there. But yeah, again, thanks for watching the show. Don't forget, it's going to be Mock Draft Monday this upcoming week. So you have all weekend up until basically Sunday midday to get your draft, your own mock draft of the Steelers in. So get the Steelers picks, and who knows, if they get that third round compensatory pick, maybe that'll be in some of these draft wizards by now. But go to draftwizard.com, go to the draftnetwork.com. There's all sorts of simulators and different things that you can sign up for free that'll allow you to just be the Steelers throughout the NFL draft and pick your class. If you do this, take a snapshot, get a picture, show and either send it to me on Twitter or post it in the Facebook group, and let the fans decide. But ultimately, one of these will get featured on the show. I will mention your name and thank you for contributing to Mock Draft Monday, and then I'll go over each of the players you selected, why I agree with them or why I disagree with them, what's great about them, what's not so great about them. It'll all be part of the fun. Again, if you're listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast, please, if you're enjoying the show, hit that subscribe button. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Stitcher, all places where podcasts are hosted. If you're enjoying the show, please hit that. Please leave us a 5-star review and a positive comment. Those things go a long way to helping me get out the word of the show. Again, this is Chris Carter. Thanks for watching. Have a great Friday, y'all. I'll catch you next week.